At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. It's old school radio. We put your feelings aside. I'm addressing the Danettes, not the audience. Put your feelings to the side. It's tough love. That's how we do it. Unless I have to walk it back like Ron Rivera did yesterday, the Commanders head coach. And we got caught up in old school stuff and style and Eric Bieniemy, and he's yelling at his players, and the players are going to the coach and saying, "Coach, what's going on?" He's yelling at us. How we grew up, coaches that influenced us, the way you could coach back then, what you could say, what you can't say, and that's certainly the case. We'll hear from Ron Rivera, the Commanders head coach, as he walks back some of his comments about his new offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. This program is always brought to you by PXG, the new Gen 6 driver is so good, they're going to bet it's better than what you're using. So go to pxg.com and find out about how you can get $100, because the Gen 6 Driver Challenge at pxg.com will prove otherwise. They don't need to pay out anything, and they will guarantee they'll give you $100 if their driver is not better than your driver. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Mark Sanchez, Fox Sports. And a former NFL quarterback, now an analyst, will join us coming up a little bit later on. And former All-Star pitcher C.C. Sabathia will stop by as well. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Phone calls always welcome any day of the week. Operator Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you for allowing us into your life. And the same with our radio affiliates around the country. All right, Seton, what do we have? By the way, we have preseason football tonight. We'll give you a reason to watch preseason football. Texans, Patriots, Vikings, Seahawks. There was another no-hitter last night. Michael Lorenzen, no-hitter for the Phillies. We'll talk about that. The future of the ACC, Cal, Stanford. Maybe. Iffy right now. And Notre Dame's role in the ACC expanding to Cal and Stanford, which I find interesting. That's where you'd say, wait a minute, they have a vote, they have a say, but they're not even really in the ACC. They're an independent, but that's the case. Notre Dame pushing for Cal and Stanford into the ACC. Seton, what do you have for us today?
Why don't we start with the NFL, Dan? Which game are you more interested in watching tonight? Texans at Patriots, Vikings at Seahawks.
Okay, Paulie has convinced me Patriots-Texans is more interesting. Now, if this was a regular season game, then I would watch Seahawks and Vikings.
Correct.
I think the word saucy was,
yes,
was thrown in there, which
Paulie,
is...
Not many matchups are, you know, if whoever is broadcasting tonight comes on and say, we got a saucy matchup tonight.
Especially on August 10th.
Yeah, the Texans versus Patriots. Saucy tonight. Bailey Zappi versus C.J. Stroud. You better buckle up because we got some football tonight. What else do you have there, Seton?
C.J. Stroud is fun to watch. That's going to be, I mean, he's playing, right?
Yeah.
He's got to.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, Paul.
My rationale is this. You want to watch the Kansas City Chiefs during the regular season. In the preseason, the Chiefs are not interesting. Kelsey's not playing. Mahomes isn't playing. But the Texans, C.J. Stroud, new team, the worse the team, the more you want to watch them in the preseason because they have more draft picks you know. C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson of Alabama. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's like a household name. They got Nathaniel Dell, that nice wide receiver of Houston. So yeah, that's the kind of guys you want to watch. And then the Bailey Zappi situation is if you're, especially if you're a Patriots fan, is saucy. Now, if that's week four, I'm not even sniffing this
game.
No,
it's just week. I don't know if you can say Bailey Zappi saucy.
Oh, you
I am a Bailey Zappi fan.
You were with me last year.
Yes, I am. I think Bailey Zappi could be better than what they have right now. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they look bigger arm.
Just saying, is he better?
Dang.
Sound like someone's watching Patriots tonight.
I will watch, but... I don't know if Mac Jones, I don't know what's, first of all, it's a disservice when you have a quarterback and then you don't get him weapons, then we're saying, hey, Mac Jones, let's see, you're supposed to be a first round pick, supposed to be good. He probably goes to the line of scrimmage and goes, who am I throwing to? Put him in Miami, put Tua in New England, and then you tell me who's the better quarterback. Because you would never know with Tua. Where Mac Jones would have all those weapons. So a lot of times you have to look at the quarterback, but look at the personnel around him or the philosophy that they have. I you could put Mac Jones in the Niners offense, and I think he could be Brock Purdy. I really do. But he's got it just like Justin Fields. He probably goes into the huddle and goes, oh, my God. Looks around. All right. If you're not open, I'll run. Yes, he.
Why does it not feel like a compliment to say if you put Mac Jones in the 49ers offense, he could be Brock Purdy? Yeah. It still feels kind of like a dig. And Brock Purdy is my guy. I love him.
But I don't think it's.
That feels like a dig.
I don't think it's meant as a compliment. I think it's meant as a dig. It feels like if you put anybody in Kyle Shanahan's offense, chances are you're probably going to do okay.
Yeah.
Probably. But Bailey Zappi, you know, he's probably going, you know, who do we have? Who do we have in here? How do I make a play? And then Mac Jones. I mean, I don't know if either is a starting quarterback, but, you know, it's hard to tell because they don't have any weapons there. Yes, Paulie.
The Vikings and Seahawks are the later game. Vikings, not that interesting. They don't have a lot of names that are interesting, but the Seahawks are. I think the Seahawks are going in a weird direction. They have Kenneth Walker, a great young running back, mm-hmm. but they drafted two more running backs, Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA, and Kenny McIntosh, don't sleep on him, the running back out of Georgia. I think they're going to run first.
See, I got the Vikings with Jordan Addison tonight.
Right.
I'm interested in him. And then with the Seahawks, you got Jackson Smith Nigba out of Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
I'm interested in him. So, I mean, I don't know how much they play. But I would be interested in watching them. But if it's a regular season game, the Vikings-Seahawks would be really interesting.
I got one more question on C.J. Stroud. Usually the starter doesn't play much in the first preseason game.
Yeah.
Because he's a rookie, does he play extended?
I need to see a little bit more of him. I think. Well, I would hope that they want him out there so we could kind of see how he's going to be. I don't know if you can go, we're going to rest him. He's going to be our starter, but we're going to rest him through the whole preseason. And I'll ask Mark Sanchez about that, of putting a rookie in there for a team that's not very good, got a brand new head coach. How much do I want him to play, be exposed to this? Or, and they've already said that he's going to, I think, start for the team. Is that right? Bryce Young is going to start for Carolina as well. How much do you play? Do you play more because you haven't played at all and you got to get ready for the regular season? What else do we have there, Seton, poll question-wise?
Paul just threw out another one here that's interesting. I'm curious to see where he's going with this, but the poll question is, I'm old school or new school?
Hmm. If you had to describe yourself.
Well, I'm old school, which with shades of new school.
Okay.
Like it's there. Like the inside is old school. You know, you go into somebody's house and you go, man, this hadn't been changed in years. Yeah, that's me. But the exterior, you know, I can dress it up and wear like a Kraken sweatshirt today.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, and I'm doing it today.
But how about your philosophies?
My philosophy.
Like everything was better in the old days.
No. You can't do that. Not in this business, but also running a family where you're like, that's the way my dad did it, and that's the way I'm going to do it. Can't do it.
I think you lean towards new school.
I do.
Because I know how you treat your kids and things like that, so I would say you're more new school.
I try to be newish school, but there's an old school mentality that's still there, always going to be there. Yes, Eden.
It's difficult to keep up your new schoolness, though, because society moves like if you it is constantly pushing forward. And so your new school thoughts right now in 10 years will be old school. So you have to keep advancing your new schoolness.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of lots of I'm sort of at that age, too, where my new schoolness is being pushed into old schoolness. And it's like I have to reject that a little bit.
Mm.
Have to keep advancing.
Okay. Marvin, you old school?
Certain things, I'm old school, but for the most part, I'm new school, especially with my son.
Yeah, because your mom was tough on you.
To an extent, but she was hilarious.
Yeah, so, but when you said you were thirsty and she said...
Oh, to drink spit. Well,
good advice.
Well, in context, I did something really bad at school earlier in the day.
You left that out all these years.
No. Bridget was not a drink spit just on a regular Wednesday night.
It's mom, not Bridget.
Yeah, no. It's mom. Wait, you call your mom Bridget?
Well, I don't call her that, but...
Oh, but you're calling her that now.
And sorry, in our family, sometimes we'd be like, hey, you see Marianne? She's right there. Just because you go into a store, hey, Ma, every woman turns around.
Yeah.
Bridget, she turns around. Like, all right, I got your attention.
My kids do that with my wife.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't turn around, and they finally yell out her name, and then she turns around. Yeah, Pauline.
My sister's kids, when they got about 13, 14, 15, started calling their parents Kevin and Carrie. And I was like, huh? So I think I might be old school. No. I don't think I'm going to fly with that. My kids are getting to that age.
Yeah, Marv.
Oh, no. I don't mean like on a regular like basis. I'm just explaining to you guys because sometimes like me and my friends, we'd go, my friend Goo, his mom's name is Karen. He goes, yeah.
Wait, your friend's name is Goo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real name Kashif, nickname Goo.
Goo.
Of course. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I could see that.
And so he would say, hey, Karen doesn't play those games.
Okay.
Yeah. You're just explaining. Sorry.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, we just had this conversation yesterday, actually, in my house, where my father-in-law's name is Joe, and he goes by Joe pretty much all the time. And even when my wife is referring to him to other people, she'll say Joe, but she calls him Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you kind of use both names. So when we talk to, say, my son about him, be like, oh, Joe's coming this weekend. My son calls his grandfather Joe.
Okay.
Because that's what Joe wants to be called.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be, you know, pop or anything.
But then you have this where your daughters start dating and then they bring a boy home and then all of a sudden he wants to know if he can call you Dan.
Nope.
Well, one of my daughter's boyfriends calls me Mr. Patrick and the other daughter's boyfriend calls me Dan.
How old is the guy who calls you Dan?
27.
Man, that's close.
What about Mr. Patrick? How old is he?
He's 30. But here's the issue. The one who calls me Mr. Patrick, that relationship is further along with my daughter, whereas...
The other one has no shot now.
No, but he found out that, you know, my other daughter's boyfriend calls me Mr. Patrick, and he was mortified that he had been calling me Dan.
Oh, no, that's tough. That's tough.
And I said, look, you know, down the road, you want to call me Dan, that's fine. But... You know, up until we get to the wedding, you know, I'd like to be Mr. Patrick.
That's a cutoff.
Yeah.
But does it become Dan or Dad?
He could call me Dan.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Man, I don't know what I would want to be called.
But I didn't want to be called Dan. I mean, it's weird. You know, like, you guys haven't experienced any of this stuff, but those are things where you're like, all right. Are you in it for the long haul here? You know, hey, Dan, how are you? And then the other one's like, hey, Mr. Patrick. All right. And then all of a sudden, the other one's going, oh, my God, I didn't know that you're called Mr. Patrick. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, so when I refer to you, I say DP because I still feel weird calling you Dan. Because if Bridget was like, who are you calling Dan?
Oh, so your mom would tell you to call me Mr. Patrick.
My mom, my grandma. Okay. Wait, who the hell are you calling Dan? I said, well, he...
I'm okay with you calling me Dan.
Yeah, but I still...
Or DP.
Yeah, I just kind of go DP.
Yeah. No, I got it. Yes, Paul.
All right, so one of us hasn't talked yet about this. I'm curious with Todd. His daughter's about 18 years old. I know she's had some boyfriends, according to Todd. What do they call Todd?
I get Mr. Fritz, and I think that's how it should be, even if it makes me feel old, I think in the early part of a relationship. And then as it goes on and things become more comfortable and it looks like it's becoming a thing, I don't know what that exact amount of time is, but you know it when you see it or feel it, then maybe we can start talking about Todd. But I think it has to start with some kind of respect in that way.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. Now, I did, what if the kids say, thank you, Todd? Like your daughter's
and
doing boyfriend.
It just as a shout out to the Dan Patrick show, I could wink at it.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking, and all of a sudden, you know, your daughter's boyfriend goes, thank you, Todd.
So that's thank you, Mr. Fritz.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Pass the mashed potatoes all right. And all right. Respect
Fair
your
enough.
Elders.
Okay. Fair enough.
Pass the mashed potatoes.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app. At FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Brian in Chicago. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good.
I'm actually a realtor from Chicago.
A realtor.
Yeah, I'm just going off of what you guys talked about yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to Ireland. I was wondering, are you guys going to post what your general itinerary is going to be or times that some of the fans might be able to meet up with you guys?
Yeah, we're going to do that on social media. But looks like it'll be probably Wednesday night. We'll certainly do something after our first show. We're on from 2 until 5 in the afternoon, Dublin time, and then we'll let you know where we're going to go after the show. We'll do a meet and greet, And I can't promise that Will Ferrell will go with us. That'll be up to him. But myself and the Danettes will be going to a couple of pubs. Yes, Marvin.
He's coming with us to Ireland, just not for the meet and greets, possibly.
Well, I don't know. He's Will Ferrell. I don't know what it's like for him to walk around and just mingle.
No. I mean, is he coming still with us to Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got his flight information. I got everything. I know everything that's going on with Will. He's going to be a Danette. He doesn't want to be a guest. He's going to maybe do the poll question. Yes, Seton.
There's not going to be a call at some point that, and Will's like, Dan, I was kidding. What?
No. I got his flights. I know when he arrives.
And he has the flight information too. He knows that he has flights booked.
He does know that he's Will Ferrell's coming with us to Ireland.
Farrell.
Yeah,
not Farrell. Not Billy Ferrell.
William Farrell.
Will Ferrell is coming with us. Promise.
The guy who's an elf.
Yes. Yes. Old school. Yes. Will is joining us.
Ron Burgundy.
Yes. Ron Burgundy. Yes. Yes. He's coming.
What a wild
world. I hope he stays. That's the thing. He might get there and go, what am I doing? Yeah, Paulie.
I was watching some Old School last night. The scene where he and his wife are in the therapist's office in Old School. He's having trouble with his wife. And he's like, and so we're in the tree. We're in the trust tree. He's telling the story about the waitress. Golly, that's fun stuff.
Oh, look who just got married. Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst. Yep. Congratulations. I had the over. Mark Sanchez is married. All right. Did you cry? Okay.
Oh, like a baby.
Really?
Like a baby. She actually did. Here's why. Because she woke up early today to help set me up. You can ask the people backstage getting this whole thing set up. But we're on a little vacation here before the season kicks off and before my son's school starts. So, we make a good team, I think.
Okay. But when she walks down.
Got a lot of work to do, you know. It's a tough conference, tough division. Got a lot of good couples out there. We got to be in it at the end, crescendo at the right time.
I like
all that stuff.
Yeah. When do you start crying at your wedding?
So we wrote our own vows, and I knew I was going to tear up when the lights come on, when it's game time, because the couple of times I'm writing, you know, you get a little choked up, and you're just like, that's ridiculous. You know, come on. Like, tighten up, big guy. You know, a lot like Fritzy, maybe, you know, like back in my day. And so... I hit the real men don't cry kind of thing. And then whatever, you wrestle with that for a little bit. And then lights came on and it was game time. And sure enough, the waterworks came on too.
You threw an interception. You threw a pick six right away.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right. Let me start with college football a little bit. You, of course, a USC alum.
Yeah.
How did this happen? How did all of this did it happen, and is there any bigger picture solution in your opinion?
Well, I think this whole realignment or NIL or both, or they're kind of, you know, responsible for each other in different ways. I think in maybe 10 years when there's like some legit guardrails on everything and we kind of look back and say, oh yeah, okay, well that probably made sense there. And oh, here's the real straw that broke the camel's back. But I think one of them had to be this chasing a national TV or national media model, right? Because way back in the day, right, in black and white with Fritzy, it was like, get your regional guys, you know, and go fight, you know, play against the other guys that are in their region and see who's better, right? Oh, wow. USC, Notre Dame, we got a railway that will take these teams together and unite the country. Well, those were like the beginnings of what we're seeing today. And with the Pac-12 and the lack of a national media model, SC's like, you know, we got to go, boys. We got to get out of here. We got to chase this stuff. If we're going to be on TV and be relevant and show these kids in Florida, Texas, and all on the East Coast, everywhere else, that, hey, football is big here, because it's not like when Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush were playing that everybody on the Eastern Seaboard would tune into that 11 o'clock game, in LA. So now without that vehicle to basically promote yourself and help recruit, they got to go to something bigger. And the Big Ten was the answer. When it comes to NIL, I mean, it's the wild, wild west right now. I think at some point there'll be some guardrails and rules, but you know, I find it hard. I wouldn't want to be the person in the position to blow the whistle first on somebody for breaking a rule, right? Especially right now, especially with the way the NCAA kind of looks publicly, like their public image isn't beautiful and shiny and sweet. It's a little like, hey, man, you guys have been holding these players down for a long time, and now they're getting paid. You guys kind of blew that, and what's going on with conferences? Is there really an NCAA? You know, there's a lot of questions about that. So,
would you have stayed longer at USC with Anna if you were getting paid?
You know, it's interesting because I've thought about this quite a bit in the last year, and it's not to stay. It's hard to say now in retrospect, looking back, saying like, well, if they would offer me $10 million, maybe I don't go. Are you staying for the money? I don't know. Is the money a new thing? You know, is it in that last year that they say, hey, here's $10 million, you stay, it's yours, it's all legal and above board? Shoot, that would have made me think about it at least one more time. I can't guarantee I wouldn't have made the same decision, but you know, it was part of that was if I'm staying, the chances of getting hurt, you know, the chances of this new CBA coming down, the chances, whatever, like it was just the right time for me personally in that moment. But, you know, I've heard stories about CJ Stroud and these guys at, you know, different programs where it's like he was going to leave. He obviously left, but he was going to leave, and they put together a pretty nice package for him to stay.
How much did you hear?
You know, I don't know. I've heard different numbers. I've heard anywhere from 10 to 20. And I was just like, whoa, because if it's that high, then we're talking something serious, right? Like, what's he going to get paid on his rookie deal? 25, 28, 29? I don't know what the, you know, first year is, but it's slotted now. And then to go back, compete for a Heisman, compete for a national championship, potentially have those two things in your pocket, plus, let's just call it $15 million. I mean,
I know.
I don't know. That's not too bad. You know, if you were even in any way hesitant about going to the next level, skill-wise, maturity-wise, you know, physically, emotionally, anything like that, shoot. You know, if I'm his parents, I'm like, well, I know a safe option.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
So
we're talking to Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, trying to figure out if you're the Texans and you got CJ Stroud or Bryce Young,
yep.
How much do you play in the preseason if you know they are going to be your starter week one?
Sure. Well, I think – okay, the old school model that I was a part of and I can speak to was, you know, the first game, there used to be four preseason games, number one, now there's three. But the first game, you get about a quarter-ish, a series, maybe two, right? A total of anywhere from 8 to 15 kind of plays, basically, because you can't guarantee with the way the game plays out. Second game, you're playing at least 2 to 3 drives, you know, right around middle of the second quarter, whatever. Depends. If you go out and blow it out of the water, have two scoring drives, boom, get his ass out of there and keep him healthy and upright, throw in some sandals, give him some sunflower seeds, and let him watch the rest. Third game is like your dress rehearsal. You'll go through the first half, get into the third quarter, at least one drive in the third quarter, and then after that, you kind of shut it down. The fourth game was to round out the bottom of your roster, and then, you know, you go play in about, I think it's like 10 days after that fourth game. Now, with just the three chances in preseason, that third game has become the game to kind of round out the roster. Now guys play about a quarter, maybe two quarters in the first and second game, and the idea is just to get them live reps at situations. You want them having to handle third downs. You want them to have handle, you know, first and second downs that you can rep, you know, in practice anyway, but you want them to do a 2-minute drill. You want them to do you want them to have a third and long, a third and short, a red zone opportunity. You just want to simulate those as best you can, keep them upright while maintaining his health for the season, and then let them go play. Now, with the introduction of all these joint practices, or maybe the growing popularity of these joint practices, you can get a lot of those reps in those scenarios because you can script it a certain way and that defense is trying to tee off. Now, the chances of you getting just completely blown up in a joint practice as a quarterback are much, much lower than a real preseason game, because in a real preseason game, you're wearing the same color jersey. In the joint practice, they're told still not to get near the quarterback, but inevitably there's a guy who's trying to make the roster and trying to make a name for himself, and you know, he might beat somebody around the edge and he's coming for you, so he's going to give you a little contact. But bottom line is you're balancing those two things, and I don't know how any of the GMs or coaches have any fingernails left after preseason because these guys are watching, you know, their new shiny toy at Christmas, and it's that remote control car, and there goes the neighbor just playing with it, and you're like, oh God, you know, so you're just scared that something's going to happen.
I saw this video of Trayvon Diggs picking off Dak Prescott a couple of times and then talking trash to him. And I'm wondering, how often does that happen? If you threw an interception in practice, would the defense, like, really, you know, Trayvon Diggs was not holding back. I mean, he was calling out Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I've seen the clip. I think, you know, those kind of things in that moment, I mean, you never know what went into it. And it's kind of funny because after those things happen at practice, you're already like, you're already fine with your relationship with that player has already been mended, even if it were ever broken or frayed, I guess. And then you got to go talk to the media about it. And then they kind of remind you about it. So I wouldn't think, it's not like, you know, he said that to Dak and Dak was just like tail between his legs, like a sad puppy and walking in a locker room, like, man, I got no friends. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's just incredibly competitive and that kind of tense environment. And that's what you want. Now, you know, people are going to have their take on it because it was cut out of context and then pasted everywhere for everyone to see. But I don't see a problem with it. And it also depends on the players, like their relationship. I mean, Bart Scott used to rip my head off all the time. I could barely get my first couple snap counts off because he's screaming at me, yelling at me, you know, you Richie Valens looking La Bamba mother, you know what, and this and that. Hey, Nacho, hey, what's the snap count, Nacho? You know, he's screaming at me. And,
Rex didn't want to stop that?
Nah, come on. It was great. It's what your rookie quarterback goes through. And those are like the growing pains. But then, like, you know, a guy like that, like Bart, dude's got your back. Like, if anybody cheap shot at me or something, like, that's the dude who would sprint on the field. Same thing with Mangold. Same thing with those. Like, they just have your back. And it's like, you know, this is a part of your growing pains, young guy, but you're one of us. You know, they got their arm around you at the same time. A little different between Dak and Trayvon because they're, you know, similar age, or Dak's a little older, whatever. So, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to cultivate this environment that's so competitive that pushes you to the edge right when it's about to break out into a fight, and then you literally just walk away or stand still and let them get the penalty. You know what I mean? That was like an old Pete Carroll thing. We push it to the brink, like right to the edge of the cliff, and let them jump off. We don't jump off. We don't lose our cool.
Where do you stand on this Eric Bieniemy Commander's story, where Bieniemy, I guess, is being rough on the players? He says he's intense, he's old school. And they went to Ron Rivera to complain about Eric Bieniemy yelling at them.
What are you going to get from Ron? I mean, Ron's a tough old school dude, too.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the new athlete is not used to being yelled at.
I mean, but yeah, sure. But I think it's like, who are you? Who's going to come to save the day? The guy who played linebacker in the league, you know, three CBAs ago? Come on now. I don't know if that's the right
But Rivera right talked about to. It. That's the problem. He told the media about it instead of keeping that in-house.
So I didn't see the interview. I had heard rumblings of this. And, I mean, there's so many media outlets searching for something right now to grab onto.
Timing is everything.
And so I don't know necessarily what would make Coach want to say that. But maybe it's like, you know, like, hey, we brought the, maybe his intention was like, we brought the right guy in. He's ruffled some feathers around here, and that's what we want. Once again, Trayvon Diggs and Bart, and Dak Prescott, Bart Scott and me as a young rookie. It's like, get this stuff as tough as you can and simulate every tough situation you possibly can. Cause I guarantee we're going to get them. If these are the toughest situations we get all season, boys, we're gravy. Like, we are good. And That's the idea of training camp. Simulate the toughest, hardest stuff, just like military training. And then when it happens in the season, boom, I've done it. I've been there. I know what to do. A lot like, you know, Fritzy. Somebody had to tell him to get his freaking hands out of his pocket in the sound check so he could go up there and have the stage presence we know he has. I thought I would have seen a little Shirelles, like a little hand, boom, something, you know, a little something. But my man was just like, you know, Flat Stanley up there.
Princey was sort of our Napoleon Dynamite when he gets up on stage, where he's not even really engaging with the audience, hands in his pockets, and but he got through it. I mean, he did.
He did.
He stood
he
there.
Did. I'm proud of him.
Stood there like a champion. Stood there like a champion. Well, congrats on the nuptials, as we like to say.
Thanks,
just sir. Just take it one anniversary at a time, okay?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Just one anniversary at a time. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, bud. Good to talk to you again.
Appreciate you guys.
Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, former NFL USC quarterback. Yeah, everybody talks tough until. And then you're going, oh, man. I remember, like, when my wife walked down the aisle and I held it together. I did. I held it. You know, let me take a break. We're running a little bit late here. But, you know, trying to hold it together in front of everybody. But I'll recapture the moment when my wife, 37 Love. Years ago, walked down the aisle. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
MLB special assistant to the commissioner, also Cy Young winner, six-time All-Star. CC will be part of MLB Network's MLB Tonight Clubhouse telecast tonight. Cardinals Rays at 6 Eastern, so Albert Pujols is in there. Special guest, David Wright, David Price, Vince Coleman, Melvin Upton, and CC launched the Clubhouse Game production series on MLB Network as a way for fans to watch a bunch of former players gather together and see how much they break down a game live. CC joins us now. What do you think so far of being an analyst? How would you rate your analytical game?
It's pretty good. It's unconventional, though, you know, because it's, you know, I'm not really, you know, sitting there like breaking down the game, analyzing the game. Is more like sitting there just watching the game like I would do on my couch and hanging out with friends. So I just wanted to bring a different element to fans and a different way that you watch the game. I actually got this idea from, I watched the Super Bowl with Tiki Barber one year, and he was just like, the way he could explain everything and, you know, formations and what's going to happen next, it was super cool. So having that experience, I wanted to try to bring that experience to fans with baseball.
Can you be critical?
Yeah, you can, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, it's hard for me to be critical because I know how hard the game is. So, you know, for me, it's more about, you know, trying to shed light on the guys and having a lot of fun. But I mean, absolutely. Yeah, you can be critical for sure. I mean, we get into a lot of different things during the broadcast of the games, for sure.
You had a no-hitter, another no-hitter last night. We're finding a rise in combined no-hitters. You almost had one, I think, with the Brewers. You led the league in complete games twice. Do pitchers want to have complete games now?
Yeah, I think so. I think guys want to go out and pitch deep into the games. I think, you know, what you saw last night from Rob Thompson letting Michael Lorenzen go, you know, 120 pitches was something special. You know what I mean? You know, some other organizations probably would have took him out after the seventh inning with 100 pitches. But, you know, those things are super cool and special for the fans, you know, cool for the organization. And, yeah, I mean, guys want to, you know, if you feel strong, you feel good, you want to finish what you start.
Could you have been a full-time hitter, full-time pitcher, like Ohtani, at any point in your career, were you a good enough hitter where you could have done it in the major leagues?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think there's anybody that can kind of do what Ohtani's doing. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, there hasn't been anybody, you know, to do what he's doing. I think there will be other two ways, but I don't think they'll be at the level that this guy's at. So, absolutely not. I don't think I could have done what he's doing. No chance.
Would you rather?
I was a good hitter, though. I was a good hitter, DP.
Would you rather face him as a hitter or face him as a pitcher?
Oh, I can get him out as a pitcher for sure.
Okay. How would you get him out? No, oh, there you go.
Sorry.
How would you get Ohtani out?
I've always felt like I pitched good against lefties, so it would be two seamers in. Right at the hands, right under the hands, and then my, you know, backdoor slider and the slider.
What's that sound? What is that sound when somebody hits a home run?
Oh, it sounds like a shotgun going off. you can hear it.
How
you
often
can hear it. You know it right away.
How often would you not even turn around?
A lot. I never turned around. Like, I can just hear it. I can see the reaction, and, you know, I'm just waiting for another ball. So that's why I never really cared about guys like pimping home runs or any of that stuff. Like, I never paid attention. Like, after the ball was hit, I was just looking at the umpire, give me another ball, and let's get back to it.
You didn't care if they did a bat flip or any of that stuff?
No, I really don't, man. It's hard to hit in the big leagues, man. It's really hard to hit, and it's really hard to hit a home run. So, I mean, you know, I like to see the celebration. So, yeah, I had no problem with, you know, I remember I gave up a bomb one time to Carlos Gomez in Milwaukee. Absolute bomb. I mean, over the slide. He did his whole little thing. And I went back in after to watch it because I wanted to see, first, one, where the ball landed, and two, what he did. So it's all good.
You have three career home runs, I believe?
Three career home runs, yeah.
All right. You got them off of who?
Homer Bailey. Chan Ho Park, and a young guy from Cincinnati. I can't remember his name.
Wait, you only hit three? You should remember that pitcher from Cincinnati.
I definitely should remember his name, but I don't.
The best
thing about the one in Cincinnati was watching Ken Griffey Jr. chase it. I hit it to dead center field. Watching him chase it and go over his head was the coolest thing.
You start to get on the mound and you're thinking about things. I don't know if you ever threw a pitch and before it got to the plate, you realized that that's going to be a home run.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was telling this story the other day about Miguel Cabrera. He's the best right-handed hitter. Him or Manny Ramirez are the best right-handed hitters that I ever faced, probably the best in our generation. And there was pitches that, you know, if I threw him his first at-bat, if I threw him a two-seamer away, I knew if I threw him a two-seamer away later in the game, he was probably going to hit it out. So it was a game, game four of the ALCS 2012. First at bat, I got him out, popped him up with a fastball in, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And got to his second at bat and went back in for that pitch. And when I threw the ball, I can see like, oh, I was like, oh, that's it. Like when I was letting the ball go, I was like, oh, that's a good spot. And as I can see him clearing his hips, like when the ball got halfway, and I was like, oh yeah, that ball ain't coming back.
What do you as the pitch clock been effective for both batter and hitter? Or batter and pitcher?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been great league wide. Just looking at the time of the games, looking at the little stuff that, you know, guys, clean up the little stuff around the batter's box and the little dead time that we had in the game. I think it's great. I felt like, you know, I pitched, you know, pretty quick and was in a good tempo. So I don't feel like it would have bothered me at all, but. As a fan, I enjoy watching the games now, and it's something that you can really digest in two hours and 45 minutes. So it's been great.
Build me the perfect pitcher.
As far as what, like players or
fastball, slider, changeup, curve.
Best fastball. You know, I love Gerrit Cole's fastball. Okay. I love his fastball. He can throw it at any quadrant he can throw it to. So I really love his fastball. I would take Devin Williams' changeup, the airbender, the kid from Milwaukee. I want his changeup. I want Blake Snell's slider. His slider is real sharp. He gets big leaguers to swing at balls that don't even go halfway to the plate. Like, so his stuff has to be nasty. So, I would take Cole's fastball, Devin Williams' changeup, and I want Blake Snell's slider.
And then you're going to throw in Mariano's cutter?
I don't think anybody can really replicate that. You know what I mean? Like, if I had Mo's cutter, I wouldn't need anything else.
But did you ever ask him to teach you?
Oh, yeah. That's how I extended my career at the back end. Around 2013, I lost a lot of velocity. I went into camp. I lost a bunch of weight. I came into camp at 265. Couldn't throw a ball over 83 miles an hour and had to get my weight back up. And when my weight got back up, I only got back to like 88 or 90. And during that time, Mo was still pitching and Andy Pettit had just retired. So Mo taught me the grip on the cutter and Andy taught me the arm slot. And that's how I was able to, you know, pitch five more years.
I got you homering off Elizardo Ramirez.
See, now how am I supposed to remember that, DP?
I don't know. it's only three guys. Come on. It's like remembering everybody's name in the band that you're with. I mean, come on. Elizardo Ramirez, and you hit a two-run homer off of him.
Two-run homer.
Okay. All right. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Have fun with the broadcast there. And how's your golf game, by the way?
Man, I was playing pretty good until today. I just shot 47 on the front, so we got to see what I do on the back. I have been playing well up until about a week ago, so it's so fleeting. But I love golf. This is all I do. I wake up every morning and put on golf clothes. I don't even put on normal clothes. I wake up to put on golf clothes and come to the course.
What are you doing with the commissioner? Are you on the job right now as the special assistant to the commissioner?
Yeah, I think I feel like I'm always on the job. You know, I feel like this is a part of being on the job. Helping him, you know, with player relations, the rule change stuff, You know, kind of just anything, you know, on-field operations, you know, kind of anything that he needs help with. You know, it's been a lot of fun to be able to work at MLB. I think as players, you know, when you're playing, you're trained not to like, you know, the other side, and, you know, getting out of the game and understanding that, you know, that is a place that we can work. And now seeing, you know, Albert Pujols is there, you know, Raul Labañez, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard. We have a good group of players, Jed Lowry, Nick Swisher. It's a good crew of players that can help bridge the gap between, you know, the current players and the league office.
Great to talk to you again. Thank you, CC.
Good to see you.
That's CC Sabathia, the special assistant to the commissioner, six-time All-Star, won the Cy Young in 2007. MLB Tonight Clubhouse telecast of tonight's Cardinals Rays. That's at 6 Eastern. A couple of phone calls in here. Let's see. Dustin in Alabama. Hi, Dustin. What's on your mind?
Hit the button. I'm a little bit behind this week, catching up on the podcast. So I'm calling in to celebrate Dustin Hoffman Day. That's who I was named after. But I do have a really good suggestion for y'all's retirement tour.
Okay.
With all the stuff going on in the NCAA, I live in a little beach town called Gulf Shores, Alabama. To get the I-team to look into it in May when there's not much going on, we have the Women's NCAA Beach Volleyball Championship held on our beach. Man, it is an event you want to see, and just in case, you know, something ever happens with the NCAA and they disintegrate that event, I would highly recommend checking out Gulf Shores and that.
All right.
What are those dates again? I'm on my way.
Yeah, Todd,
I'm going to book a hotel.
Yeah, Todd's interested, I'm sure. Kristen in New Hampshire. Hey, Kristen.
Yeah, 5'8 and old school.
5'8 and old school. Okay.
Yep. So thanks, Dan. I'll be meeting you on Wednesday night in Ireland. Can't wait to go. It's going to be my birthday. I don't need to come, but thank you.
All right. Well, hopefully our connection's a little bit better when I meet you there on that Wednesday night, Kristen. But we look forward to it. And we'll let everybody know. We'll put it out on social media where we're going to be. And once again, I don't know if Will Ferrell's going to join. I know he's going to do the show over there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The football game is on Saturday. But we'll do a meet and greet on Wednesday. After that, I'm not quite sure, but we'll figure it out once we get there. Yes, Paul?
What if we're at a pub in Dublin and a woman walks up to us named Kristen and goes, hey,
so that was a speech impediment. We thought there was some kind of signal problem with the phone.
Here I'm saying that there's a bad connection.
Verizon service, perfect.
Oh, you're Kristen in New Hampshire.
Hey, Paulie, what?
Thanks, great to meet you.
Probably not likely, but a good bit.
Oh, we got to figure out what we're having for Meet Friday because Tyler goes, well, we're on vacation next week. And then after that, we go to Dublin. He goes, what about maybe some Irish food? I don't know if we – do you guys want bangers and mash?
Yes.
Shepherd's pie? Is there anything else that you want?
In addition to that?
No. Is there anything else that you would want on the menu? Like something different? Or I can tell Tyler because he's got to go out shopping today, but – Marvin, do you have a suggestion for Meat Friday?
No, that sounds good right there.
Oh, really?
It does.
Okay. Seton?
It's not really appropriate for the time of year to do like an Irish stew. Mm. Stew's a little heavy for
but shepherd's pie.
Heat wave August.
Bangers and mash.
Corned beef sliders.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
I can get into that. Mm-hmm. And a little pretzel bun, corned beef sliders.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Hey, you know, salmon is perfectly Irish. Believe it or not.
Yes.
Paul was just talking about how great salmon is on the Traeger. Mm. We can do that.
Okay. Maybe we do like three or four food groups there.
Yeah, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So who has it better than we do?
Nobody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.